think. I just got home from vacation last night about 10:30, something like that. And I still have vacation lag or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Well, then, it's okay. My wife had to fly to her work convention this morning, and so she had to wash clothes and last night, and her washer didn't work.
So you don't have it too bad right
now. So I actually ended up at the Tyler Creek laundromat around 2 o'clock doing her wash.
Well, that's good, man.
So, well, I had to do that to make up for the fact that I took the scenic route and got us home late.
Okay, there you go.
But if I didn't, I would have been in big trouble.
Yep.
So while everything was going on, I actually fast watched the Bear game.
Yeah, I knew you and Mike, you talked about the Bears game, so this one's a rough one.
The Bears got an old-fashioned whooping.
They did. The score was not a good indicator.
And every aspect of the game. So that was a big wake-up call. You can't win every game on turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense was like a sieve.
Yeah, Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush ran rings all around everybody.
They couldn't figure him out. Couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
You know what I think it was, though? Israel Adonijé, who's a defensive tackle for the Lions now, he supposedly was stealing defensive signals for line stunting.
Why did the Bears let him go?
Well, the thing is, not only why did they let him go, but why did they change up their signal calls? Because they had the same signal calls. Some of the big runs by Bush could have those stunts. They were all on the same type of stunt for the defensive line. So,
interesting.
Yep. Games are shipped up.
It's destroyed. Time to change your signals.
Yeah.
All right. Big wake up call for the Bears. Got to move on. I have a recap of my vacation, which is, well, a little interesting. Let's see. We had our Libertarian Party convention, which I chaired the weekend before. Got that done, ran home, packed, started off to the Northwoods, figured we'd get there around 10 o'clock in the evening, up in Manitowish Waters. But we stopped for dinner in Chainsville, Wisconsin, and I discovered there were no lights on my boat trailer. So I figured driving at night, that probably the prudent thing to do would be to just stay somewhere and get it fixed in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, at Toyotas, I've got a Toyota RAV4, and they are complicated. It's not like a Chevy or a Ford. You just plug it in, plug the lights in. It's a lot more complicated. And for the wiring. And anyway, long story short, it took almost all day to get that taken care of. Finding the part was one thing. It's not universal. And finally got it going. And drove a little longer. Let's see, that was like 4 o'clock. I think we finally took off 4 or 5 o'clock. And there was a little rip in our boat cover. Well, by the time we got to Stevens Point, we noticed that the whole thing was ripped open.
Oh, God.
And we had stuff. We were hauling stuff in the boat, you know, to fly out. So so we found Walmart, actually, had a decent... So we got to the Wausau Walmart and got a boat cover, put that on, continued, and I think by the time... this was all... It was like 9 o'clock. Driving at night on Route 51 in Merrill, you know, just a little north of Wausau. And all of a sudden, we heard what I felt like an explosion from the back. This just something hit us or blow out or something. We didn't know what it was. It took me a couple city blocks to really stop the vehicle, get off the road. And it was like stammering. It was like something major was going on. It was, you know, what the hell happened? So we got out. I looked around. All the tires were fine. I thought maybe, you know, through a trans or something. Look underneath. Everything was fine. We saw smoke when we came to a stop. A lot of smoke, too, by the way. So, what, fan belt maybe? That seemed fine. I walked around the boat trail. I finally found some blood on the back of a boat. I thought, gee, a deer must have hit us. I didn't hit a deer because nothing, there's no damage or anything on the car. Well, no damage. So it got into the trail. So I thought, when I saw why the vehicle stuttered, the frame of the trailer was bent so that, pushed so against the tires. So the tires didn't have a chance to rest. That's the smoke came from, the tires all burning up. For two city blocks of pavement. And then somebody pulls up behind, you know, are you all right? You know, they actually passed us, I guess, and came back around. I said, yeah, we're a little stunned, but yeah, we're fine. A deer must have hit us.
Wow.
And he said, I said, no, it was a bear.
Oh, shit.
It was a bear.
So you hit a bear.
So a bear, I wouldn't actually hit a bear. A bear hit our boat trailer.
Wow.
I never saw it.
Yeah, but that's good timing.
202. Well, I guess we consider ourselves lucky.
Yeah, because if that comes across a second or two beforehand, yeah.
Probably hit like a concrete wall almost.
Yep. Wow, a bear.
A bear.
Wow.
Like they said, like a 250-pound bear. We never saw it. It was that night. So the cop comes later, and he said, oh, actually, somebody called in and hit a bear. He decided not to pull it off the road. He just wanted to go. He didn't want to have to report or blah, blah, blah. So evidently, this other guy hit it. It was stunned and wandering around, I guess. And ran into our truck. And how it didn't hit our car, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Really weird how it didn't hit the car. So, got a local tow truck. He's also a mechanic. Fixed it the next morning. It turns out the trailer has some U-bolts to it, and it turned out it was an pretty easy thing to fix. It wasn't really bent or anything. It was just the U-bolt slipped or something, and so he fixed it pretty quickly, and not too bad. We got to buy two new tires, and then took off. So it was like Tuesday after, so, you know, day and a half later, we finally arrived at our vacation site. And that first day, my wife caught this huge smallmouth bass, almost 18 inches. Next day, I caught one, at least 18 inches, and it was like 5-pound smallmouth bass, huge.
Awesome.
So it was fun.
Yeah.
I jumped like 3 feet in the air. it was really fun. My wife says, oh, maybe we should get this mounted. She gave it to me as an anniversary gift. It's pretty... pretty pricey anniversary gift, but so I guess I had to respond in kind. We found a little loon, cement painted loon at some, you know, local craft store or whatever. So it was an expensive, it turned out to be more than one way.
Yeah.
An expensive trip.
Yeah.
But a very memorable trip.
Yeah, you won't forget that one.
Oh, jeez. But it's just, I just love that. To me, that's my favorite place on earth, is up northwest Wisconsin. Just gorgeous. And the colors. Colors were late, actually, but by the time we left, they were just almost peak, I would say. A little pre-peak. So, anyway, that was that. So I'm back, folks. Actually, I was supposed to do a show last week, and that was right in the middle of trying to figure out how I was going to get lights on my trailer.
Don't you dare.
So that show never happened. I apologize, folks. All right. Stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. I haven't had much time to look at this, but evidently, in Crawford County, Michigan, a military veteran was arrested and charged with a felony. With assault with a deadly weapon after he called the cops when he found a man trespassing on his property. He was actually hunting with his son with a bow, and he had a shotgun, I guess, that was actually not loaded. And I don't know all the details, but he called the police because he caught this guy trespassing on his property. And
good reading on you here, you fucking
idiot.
So
anyway, Michigan is open carry. It's on its own this is on its own property, and yet they arrested him. Assault with a deadly weapon. Now, the guy didn't shoot the trespasser or anything. Amazing. It never ends, folks. And I guess I have to cut it short because I don't know all the details. But Crawford County, Michigan, you're on your own property, hunting your own property, find an intruder, and since you happen to have that open carry weapon on you, you get arrested for a felony? You got to be kidding me. All right, we're going to have a guest today, folks. It's Diana Visick. She is regional representative for our area for the National Libertarian Party, also resides in Champaign and is the local chapter Libertarian Party chapter chair. She's done some great research on drones, and she actually made a presentation at our convention last week on this great presentation. And we're going to talk about drones and find out what she's found out about drones and why we should possibly fear them. And we'll do that after we break for a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. We are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program Diana Visak. Diana, how are you doing?
I am just fine, and I wanted to thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you on, and you've done some great research on drones.
That is true. I was just wondering where you wanted to start. Do you have a place, or do you want me to just start?
If you want to just start, that would just be fine.
I guess I want to make sure that people understand before we talk about all these difficult things about drones, that drones do have very positive uses. In fact, this is one of the problems. They are so incredibly useful that we'll never get rid of them. Basically, drones can do any job that manned helicopters or planes can do at a tiny fraction of the cost. And their best use is for jobs that are dirty, dangerous, or dull. So they're being used, you know, all over the world. They're not used quite as much here because the FAA is still trying to figure out rules for having them in our airspace with commercial aircraft because they could pose a potential danger. But that is really the problem, is they're so useful that people are thinking of more and more things to do with them, and law enforcement in particular is thinking of all the ways that they can be used for citizen surveillance. And as a civil liberties advocate, that's my concern, is that there's just too much surveillance going on, and the drones are another very powerful tool for doing this.
Well, if the trend continues in this country, my worry is that, and Rand Paul, of course, discussed this in his now famous filibuster, that what they're using the drones for now in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and who knows where else, could actually possibly be used in this country, that you might have somebody the administration says is a terrorist, a known terrorist, no proof of that. They don't have to show any proof of that. They can just assert it. Somebody's a terrorist and just knock them out with a drone. If that isn't the definition of police state, I don't know what is.
Well, unfortunately, the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act allow the Department of Homeland Security to do pretty much anything they want to on U.S. soil through U.S. citizens. So while Rand Paul was trying to deal with the issue of, you know, can a drone strike be used against a U.S. citizen on U.S. soil? Can we use lethal force for that? Can the president authorize lethal force for that? And Attorney General Eric Holder came back finally and said, in a letter to Rand Paul, he was a quote, "Does the president have the authority to use a weaponized drone to kill an American not engaged in combat on American soil?" The answer is no. Now, you notice the loophole, not engaged in combat.
Yeah, how do you define engaging in combat?
Right. I mean, most of us think of combat as somebody who's, you know, toting a machine gun. But, I mean, since we have seen the government morph words into different meanings, you know, it's conceivable that someday combat could mean you own a gun and you're organizing protests.
Or you're giving some money to what you think is a charitable Islamic organization.
That certainly could mess you over. That would put you on a terrorist list pretty fast. And as I said, the Department of Homeland Security has the authorization to do whatever they want against any U.S. citizen on U.S. soil.
And they've done it on foreign soil to U.S. citizen.
No.
And a son.
On U.S. soil.
I know, I'm saying, but they've already done it on foreign soil.
Yes, they have.
And his son, and 60-year-old son to boot.
Right. So, that this is, people would be shocked, I think, if it was done in the U.S., but I think that it could easily happen. And the real problem is that that Illinois passed what they call the Illinois Freedom from Drone Surveillance Act. Both houses passed it on May 31st. The governor signed it on August 27th. And unfortunately, it's Section 15 that has the meat of this bill. This is SB 1587, for those of you who want to look it up. And paragraph 1 says that Illinois law enforcement agencies can use drones if the Department of Homeland Security says there's a risk of a terrorist attack. This means use them without warrant. But by putting this into this bill, Illinois acknowledges Homeland Security's ability to use drones in Illinois, which means we can't use the 10th Amendment to try and assert our state's rights to keep them out. And it means that the state police can ask Homeland Security for authorization to do something, or to have Illinois state police do it themselves, or to have Homeland Security do it. You know, it's under the Patriot Act and the NDAA. The Department of Homeland Security doesn't need a warrant to do anything they want to U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. And now we in Illinois have basically given them permission to use drones to do it.
And the sad part about it, you mentioned at the convention, was that the ACLU actually signed off on this, which is somewhat disturbing and surprising.
Well, my sources tell me that the ACLU basically was involved in drafting this bill, and I went through my channels to find out what the ACLU thought now that the bill had been drafted, and their guy, sort of involved in this, said that you know, he was fine with it. But he thought that, you know, there were provisions for warrant. There's in one particular case a provision for a warrant, and I want to talk about that in a minute. And that he thought it was good. Now, what I heard last week when I was on WMAY in Springfield is that Greg Bishop, their anchor, had interviewed Daniel Biss, who was one of the sponsors of this bill, who apparently told him that law enforcement really turned the screws on the legislature to get all kinds of things in there. And basically, this is not the Citizens Drone Freedom from Drone Surveillance Act. This is Law Enforcement's License to Use Drones Act. And to my mind, there's an absolutely huge difference. And I'd like to talk about this issue of warrants because it really shows you where one of the ways we went horribly wrong in this bill. Paragraph 2, we just talked about paragraph 1 being Homeland Security. Paragraph 2 of the bill says that law enforcement agencies can use drones if they have a search warrant. We would expect that. The problem is that while the original warrant is limited to a period of 45 days, it can be renewed for subsequent periods of 45 days indefinitely without any new evidence or a different cause. And, I mean, one period of 45 days is more than enough. To give you a comparison contrast for how search warrants can be used normally, the criminal code says that warrants for wiretapping require that the suspect has to say something incriminating in the first minute of the wiretap or law enforcement has to stop listening. So for a wiretap, you get 1 minute to show that something criminal is going on. In this bill, law enforcement has an indefinite period of 45 days to find something is going on. This is absolutely outrageous. Clearly, this is a pro-law enforcement bill, not a pro-civil liberty bill.
And I think it's incumbent on us to point out that that the Patriot Act really, it's so broadly based that you know, they could look for anything, anytime. Just as the what happened during the general warrants during pre-Revolutionary War era, the British were coming in for any reason, for any time, and we, our founding fathers fought a revolution based a lot on that. And now the Patriot Act supposedly, I mean, not per the Constitution, but supposedly allows this to go on. It's the end of liberty in this country, if we ever had it.
Well, but, I mean, the Patriot Act certainly affects the Department of Homeland Security, but this, quote, freedom of effect affects all law enforcement agencies in Illinois. So it's not just now feds that can do things like that. It's your local police agency.
Right.
And talking about this, you know, general search warrants, paragraph 4 of this bill says that drones can be used to find missing persons. And this is, we're talking now without a warrant. It says drones can be used to find a missing person as long as the search isn't part of a criminal investigation. But since the person could have been missing for 20 years or more, the drone could search a wide area. Maybe we think this, you know, person lives in this county and the next county. So we feel that there needs to be a statute of limitations for how long a person can have been missing and a set geographical area for the search. You need to limit the search area to something reasonable. Since there's no imminent threat, a warrant should be required for this, and a warrant needs to be updated when the search area changes.
Well, I'm sure a lot of Illinoisans would feel that if they see drones hovering around their property and there's no notice given that there would be any kind of a search warrant or whatever, that, so what the heck, you just shoot the drone down. What would happen if anybody did that?
Well, actually, there have been instances of that, sort of threats of that and actual instances of that. I mean, this is part of, you know, people are trying to figure out, so what do we do about these drones? And there was an instance, I'm trying to look for my notes on this so that I quoted to you properly. Okay, here we go. In February, an animal rights group in South Carolina launched a drone to spy on hunters on a pigeon shoot on private property. The drone got shot down. However, on October 8th of this year, this has just been a week or so, Deer Trail, Colorado, population 500, will vote on whether to issue permits to hunt drones. The proposal calls for a $100 bounty for debris from a drone, quote, known to be owned or occupied or operated by the U.S. federal government, unquote. And about 1,000 people have already applied for these licenses.
I think I know where I want to move to.
Yes. Now, what the FAA has said, though, their response to this is that shooting at an unmanned aircraft would result in criminal or civil liability, just like shooting at a manned airplane. So shooting drones now is not going to be considered to be kosher in America.
So if somebody was just as a hobby operating their radio-controlled airplane, which of course is unmanned, and somebody in sport decided to shoot it down, is the federal government saying they could be held accountable for shooting somebody down as if there was a man in it? Is that what you're saying?
That is what the FAA is basically saying, and right now, hobby drones can be used up to 400 feet. And the hobby drone industry is actually very large right now. There's a website, Do-It-Yourself Drones, which has 32,000 members.
Oh.
They will help you get started in this hobby. They will hook you up with development groups, with meetup groups, so you can get support.
Well, the prices must have come down. How much does it cost to have a hobby drone, do you know?
Well, you can buy a really, really good drone on Amazon or on the net. A really good drone, meaning one with, high-definition cameras, one that will fly pretty well, all of this for under $1,000.
Wow.
Some drones you can buy for $300. There was a clerk at our local Radio Shack who was building drones out of pieces, parts from Radio Shack for not a whole lot of money.
Huh.
I mean, there's a lot of technology out there right now that is very suitable for drones, and some of this is driven by the cell phone industry, because people want more and more powerful phones. They want to have touch screens, they want to have really good cameras, GPS systems, all of this in an inexpensive phone, and the chips that are being made for these phones are totally suitable for drones. So it's not difficult to piece together a drone that would do serious things, or to just buy it off the net. Drone for police surveillance, something suitable for that, is maybe $12,000 to $13,000, probably even cheaper now. So, I mean, we're not talking about a huge expense.
Well, it occurs to me, despite what Department of Homeland Security is threatening, that it reminds me of a quote from a famous libertarian activist and speechwriter for Barry Goldwater, Carl Hess, who suggested when he was asked about technology and, should we fear Big Brother because of technology, his response actually was that he thought that technology is actually, the more technology we have, the better it is for the individual citizen to fight back to the government, that the government's not smart enough. The individual citizen will always be smarter and use that technology better.
I agree with you, basically. I want to point out that, in general, technologies are neutral.
Right.
You can use most technologies for good or for
evil.
Bad. The only technology I thought of that I think would violate this is the guillotine. I haven't thought of any just yet. I mean, it's a little big for chopping carrots, so I don't know about that technology, but certainly in this instance and with most technologies, they are neutral. And as you point out, just as clever scientists and engineers have invented drones, so they can invent ways to limit them. You know, we might be able to equip our houses with drone detectors,
right,
drone killers, all of this, but there is a problem here in that if government outlaws the use of these defense technologies, then we're in a mess. And the reason why this is really legitimate as a fear is that a government search order recently prohibited the company LavaBit from continuing to provide their secure email service. This was the group that was Snowden and others have been using all over the world. And basically the government came in, and while the proprietor of LavaBit was not allowed to say what they wanted, it appeared that what LavaBit was being asked to do is to allow the government to surveil, to keep track of what was going on through LavaBit, And a lot of it said, no, we're not doing this. We are not going to basically lie to our customers, and so we're going to shut down.
Right.
And there was another company that was not hassled by this but could see the writing on the wall, and it shut down its business. And a lot of its proprietor basically said that any company that is doing business on U.S. soil is going to have a problem because the government can come in and demand that you do things that allow them to create more of a surveillance state. Technology being limited.
And mundanely, of course, in some states, radar detectors are illegal.
Well, okay, so there's another example. Okay.
Yeah, so you're right. So it's already happened. They're already restricted. Although, see that if they try to completely ban, they'll probably try to limit. If they try to completely ban drone detectors, that may actually come to our favor, I think, because I think that might really wake up citizens to the extent that they may even cry out more that enough is enough. No. We've had enough of the police surveillance state. It's actually already starting. It seems to me this whole NSA flap, I think some people are starting to wake up and say enough is enough and we're not going to take this anymore.
I agree with you that some people are, but I would say that the vast majority of the American population is, number one, asleep.
Yes.
And number two, they have bought the propaganda, as my mother-in-law has, that all of these things are needed, quote, in order to keep us safe. And I think people do not understand that when you give up your civil liberties, the things that make us uniquely American, when you give that up, you will not have safety. Because basically what you're doing is you are allowing for the government and your local law enforcement agencies and everybody else to do whatever they want with you. If you are accused of being a terrorist for whatever, flimsy reasons, now you've got a very serious problem in your life. And so when you trade freedom for security, you end up having neither one. And I think the people really don't get this. Mainstream media is not talking about this. I think it is going to take something like a serious drone incident, like some American citizen being offed in Indianapolis, before people wake up. And even then, I wonder what the people are going to do because they have so bought this business of fear, and that's part of the propaganda. And that is one of the things that I wanted to bring up about drones. There are many things to remember about drones. One thing is that they were developed as part of war. They were developed to cope with war. The second thing is that they're part of a vicious circle. They create a vicious circle where we're using drones, say in Afghanistan, against other people to kill their citizens and even our citizens as part of war. This produces terror in those people, quite naturally. And they obviously want to retaliate using whatever means they can.
There's no such thing as a surgical strike.
What a surgical strike, but there is collateral damage, and in fact, UN is now investigating collateral damage that we have created. But because these people want to retaliate, then our government feels the need to create drone detectors and more powerful drones to cope with the potential retaliations, theoretically in defense, so it creates this vicious circle. And in the middle of this is the military-industrial complex. There are all kinds of people and a lot of money supporting drones. There's like 1,000 drone companies right now. It's a very big industry. And in my opinion, all of the things, but all of the kinds of drones that you might worry about being created
10 times as much
fiction sort of universe have either already been created or are in development. So this is a very, very serious matter, and the American people needs to wake up before it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think one way we can wake people up who think with it, well, we just need to give the government this kind of power to keep us safe, is to point out what Ron Paul pointed out in the last presidential campaign, is that if, let's say, China was searching some dissidents who are residing in the United States of America freedom fighters from our perspective, terrorists from China's perspective, actually came in with their drones into our country, shot those Chinese people dead, but in the process, we had collateral damage. Maybe someone's next of kin died because of a drone attack by China. How would that person then react to that type of drone attack?
I completely agree with you, and I don't even think we would have to have collateral damage. I think that
right.
if another nation used their rights under international law, just as we are asserting our rights,
right.
come in and take out their enemies in the U.S., I think
Ken,
people would be horrified.
Go to a commercial.
We've been under the impression for years that the rules that affect us are different than the rules that affect everybody else.
Right.
And that is really quite arrogant on our part.
Quite arrogant.
That's asserting a form of, you know, American exceptionalism that is really destructive and quite arrogant.
We're talking with Diana Visick. She's a libertarian activist from the Champaign area. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you'd like to call in with a question, comment, observation, give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings and Diana Visick dealing with drones. I understand what got you somewhat interested in this topic, not that you wouldn't have been anyway, but that your local county sheriff got one of these things not too far back.
That's true. Basically, the Department of Homeland Security was then and is now offering grants to local law enforcement agencies to purchase drones. And there was a confluence of two things. One, our sheriff knew about this grant. And two, the county board had been persuaded to increase the spending limit where department heads could buy something without county board approval. So because of DHS's grant program and reducing the cost of the drone, our sheriff was able to buy one without having to get board approval, county board approval. Fortunately for us, whatever one he bought was not well made, and when they would take it out on test runs, it was constantly crashing and then having to be sent back to the manufacturer for repairs. And finally, the sheriff said he wasn't going to goof with it anymore, but that he would like to have a different drone in the future. This brings up two things. One is law enforcement agencies all over, local police forces, are trying to get drones to be, you know, up with the latest thing in law enforcement. And two, drones are actually fairly delicate right now still. I mean, they do crash. They have various problems. Even big drones like the Predator, which is being used in Afghanistan and other places, still have technical problems, fortunately. They're not as robust as developers would like, but they do present a problem.
Well, absolutely. And again, if they're not technologically competent, let's say, that would think increases the chance of so-called collateral damage.
Being used with weapons, that would. But as I mentioned, there's more than 1,000 companies currently in the drone business, and the FAA estimates that there will be 10,000 commercial drones in the skies by 2018. So this is not a theoretical matter. And in fact, in February of 2012, President Obama signed the FAA Modernization and Reform Act, which, among other things, ordered the FAA to establish 6 drone testing ranges, to fast-track requests for permission to use drones, and to figure out a scheme for their integration into U.S. airspace by 2015. So, in theory, there's a push to be able to allow commercial and private drones into the air, and this creates a problem, in my opinion, because, you know, most people are concerned about the issues of government drones, but really, in my opinion, private drones are also an issue, because while law enforcement would need to show that they had a warrant or otherwise followed the provisions required for collecting evidence to be able to be used in court, a private person could be using their drone over your property, just goofing around with their camera, could see something that might be technically illegal, and then could go to a police department and say, hey, look what I found. While the police then would not be able to use that evidence, have probable cause to then go and get a search warrant.
And police really do that all the time. They use private citizens, private companies to try to skirt around the Fourth and Fifth Amendments.
Right. But now that there are drones in the sky seeing whatever it is that they see, and actually the U.S. Supreme Court has said in an issue in the past that you have no expectation of privacy outdoors. This was an instance where a police helicopter was being used over private property. They noticed the marijuana plants growing, and the U.S. Supreme Court said that evidence was admissible, but you have no expectation of privacy outdoors. And Mayor Bloomberg of New York has said that he feels that drones with surveillance cameras are no different than cameras on buildings in New York, and that he expects that in 5 years, drones and cameras on buildings will provide basically seamless coverage of everybody outside in New York, so that you can track somebody moving throughout the city, know what they're doing, where they're going, all that.
You know, that idiot Bloomberg, he's like almost on top of my list.
Well, he has said, and this is the thing people need to remember, and he said this quite bluntly, that New Yorkers and visitors to New York will have to give up privacy in order to have security. And that is the false trade-off that is being sold to the American people. if we were not so aggressive overseas, if we were not meddling in so many other countries' business, we would not be creating the terrorists we are right now.
Right. Well, I mean, Bloomberg's the same idiot that wants to police over what soft drinks people drink in New York. And also, if you're a private charity and you want to feed the homeless, stop that too.
Really?
Unless you have some kind of special permits or whatever, but you can't just have a soup line for the poor in New York.
Whoa! What is the rationale for that?
Who knows what kind of poison that these people could be feeding the poor? I guess I think that was a rationale.
Right. Well, the other thing I wanted to bring up is just that we don't have an expectation of privacy outdoors. In my opinion, the same kind of logic could be used to say you don't have an expectation of privacy indoors, except in your own home.
Well, don't they have the technology now to listen in?
Yes.
Well, I don't think that's the issue. The issue is we know right now there's so many businesses such as banks, there's schools, government offices, all kinds of places that have surveillance cameras indoors for security issues.
Right.
And I think that a court could say, hey, this is so ubiquitous, it was really dumb of you to think that if you were in, a commercial building that you would have privacy. Now, I don't know how that would extend to being in somebody else's private home. So really, in my opinion, the only place that is left where you can think of privacy is your own home. That is actually protected and supported.
I think they try to limit that right.
Oh, really?
I can't remember specifically, but I seem to recall in the past that because the wind could blow that smoke air over to your neighbors. See?
I see.
So I think it was somewhere in Maryland. They're really good at regulating behavior there in Maryland. So anyway, we're right at the top of the hour. Diana, thank you very much for some great information. I think your speech might eventually get up on YouTube. I know I'm pretty sure it was Aaron recorded it at the convention.
Aaron Wright was taping things. I didn't know what his intentions were for what he was taping, but
it's eventually, I think, going to get up on YouTube, so people can watch for that. Otherwise, do you have any recommendation about getting more information about drones?
I think it's tricky to find reliable information, but you can go out on the net. There are also books and magazines that talk about this. And I think what's more important is to talk to your city council members, to talk to legislators, to others of influence, even talk to your friends, because it is imperative that we have search warrants being used for absolutely everything other than a very fast search and rescue operation. There should not be any of these, big loopholes allowing law enforcement to do whatever they want to, wherever they want to, for as long as they want to, with really bogus sorts of limits.
Diana, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
And quotation of the week is just, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.